Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
By Hawk Nelson, popular song a few years back. Some of you guys have heard it. I just love the meaning behind that. Such a cool concept in the video, that the things that were said about people broadcasted on them, they're wearing it, it's changing their dispositions and their outlooks. Like it says, words can bring us up or down. Just such a powerful visual. So those of you who've gone to Atlanta, Hotlanta, you understand this. Or a couple years ago at winter camp, we did this thing called Words of Life in Atlanta. We do it every year when we've done the trip. So you should have went last year. Just saying. Should have went. So what it is, Words of Life is this cool thing. So if this is your first time here tonight, or you just didn't go on a trip with us for that, what Words of Life is we would circle everybody up. And then we'd pick one person to get in the middle. And then everybody takes a few minutes and just speaks positive, encouraging, life-bringing things into this person. And you notice the person in the center, usually they're kind of shy and slunk down, but by like a quarter of the way around the circle, like they're like, yeah, that is who I am. Just such an amazing, amazing thing. So like a cool example of this, Jack. If I'm going to give Jack words of life, I'm like, Jack, you are such an amazing young man of God, and it's so encouraging to me to watch how passionately you worship the Lord. I just love your heart for that. I love that you are determined to seek him no matter what. You don't care what's going on around you. You have a tender heart. You're a person who walks in integrity. And I just see a passion burning within you, and I see it contagious. It spreads to the people around you. And so you're just awesome, and I'm super proud of you. So that's an example of what Words of Life are like. Can you imagine a circle of 30 people going, pouring into you? It's just incredible, incredible. I remember a leader who a couple years ago at Winter Camp, when we did Words of Life for the first time, he posted that Hawk Nelson video onto our leadership page. And he's like, guys, listen to the words of the song. This reminds me of this weekend. Isn't this incredible? Let's do this more often. It's because he experienced the power of words. And so tonight, the message I want to bring you, the word that God's given me, is a message titled, Say What? I want to talk to you tonight about words. I want to talk to you about words. Our text verse, James 1:26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet don't keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, for their religion is worthless. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you're so present in this room. We thank you that you're here with us, God. And Lord, help us to just follow you wholeheartedly. God, we don't want to be people whose pursuit of you is worthless, God. We want to be people who are rooted with you and walking with you and becoming more like you. And so, Jesus, study our heart. Show us the things in our lives that are out of place, God, and help us understand that our words have impact. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, start turning over to James chapter 3. James 3, it's where we're going to be camped out for most of the night tonight. So all of us at different times in our lives have experienced the power of words. We've experienced that. Now, I've had a lot of negative things said about me in the last few months and years, but I've also had a lot of positive things said about me. And it's really up to me which ones I want to focus on. But the biggest thing is both of those have power. Think about when somebody said something negative about you. Maybe as a friend or somebody you thought you could trust, a parent or a loved one. And those words wound and they stick with you, don't they? Some of you can still remember the place you were. You can remember what was said. You remember the feelings attached to it. You remember everything about that time. It's because those words are still echoing within you because they have power to destroy. But think of a time when you were uplifted. Maybe it was at Words of Life Circle. Maybe it was something that your parents or a mentor said about you about how proud they were. It uplifted you. It encouraged you to press through. When somebody pressed in and said, look, you can do this. You can get through this. It gave you confidence to go forward. You can think about how those words lifted you up, how they motivated you forward. And it's because your words have power. Your words have power. James chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts. Consider, a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it in itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. I want to break that down because there's a lot in there. There's a lot in there. Sometimes we read the scripture, we read God's word, and we're going, say what? Like, what is this all about here? What is this all about? We fully don't understand it. So just kind of starting off at the beginning, when you put a bit into a horse's mouth, this is a small piece that directs their head, and where their head goes, so goes the animal. And so like with a ship, looks like the tech guys are ahead of me on this one. This is a rudder of a ship. So you can see this is the part that's underwater quite a ways. And now this is going to curve way up. This is the smallest portion of the ship, but the rudder is this piece that steers which way that boat goes. And so what it's saying is our words, our tongue, direct the course of our lives. And when we leave it unchecked, When we leave it unchecked, that's where we see the bad things that happen that Scripture's talking about, this restless evil that consumes everything. But when we submit it to the Lord, it changes everything. Let's go to the next slide. Let's give you some perspective. The rudder would be right about there in one of the smallest pixels. But the size of that whole ship, you wouldn't think something so small would steer something that large. But that's the power of words. Your words hold power. They direct our lives. And so those unchecked words that they talk about in verses 5 and 6, these are words that are hurtful. These are things full of pride. These are things that boast your own kingdom, that don't build other people up. These are words that wound. Intentional or unintentional, these are things that people who don't follow Christ do. And even people who follow Jesus, we're not perfect. We mess up. But it doesn't make it okay. It means we need to work to be more Christ-like. We've got to learn to control ourselves, control that tongue. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Instead, we're called to be like Jesus, right? Amen? Come on, wake up, guys. Look alive. See, this power goes both ways. Same destructive power in words also has the same power to bring life. The difference is when you submit it to Christ. You guys following? You holding in here? All right. In a follower of Christ's life, our words should be building others up. It should be pointing to Jesus himself. This is why it's important to watch what we say. Our words hold so much power. Now, this goes beyond swear words. This goes beyond cursing. Those things shouldn't be in a Christian's life anyways, because they're what the Scriptures call unwholesome speech. They don't build anything up. They don't add any value. Instead, they take away from it. So in your conversations, a great question to ask yourself is the stuff I'm saying, the person I'm talking about, make the person I'm talking to view them better or worse? Is the person I'm talking to going to be encouraged or discouraged? Will these words build up or will they destroy? Another example of the power of words, the word sarcasm. We're from Michigan. It's kind of a thing that they do here, but it doesn't make it all right. We're used to hearing sarcasm on a daily basis, but when you break this down, when you look at its word origin, the Latin origin means to rend the flesh. And you're like, so what? The word rend means to cut, to tear apart, or to rip apart. Sarcasm literally means the tearing, the destroying of flesh, because it wounds, it hurts, it doesn't build up, it doesn't lift up. See, and often sarcasm itself is used as a cover for an insecurity, for a shortcoming, for something that we're uncomfortable with, so we deject it onto other people. It's an inadequacy. But it doesn't make it okay, because that's not the pattern us who follow Christ are called to have in our lives. I want to challenge you. Your words hold power. And even though it may seem small, it may seem insignificant, the things you're saying, what kind of rudder do you want steering your life? Do you want one of destruction and pain, one of insults, or one that brings wholeness and life and encouragement to others? What are your words saying? Your words hold power. I also want you to understand that your words provide witness. Continuing in James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, says, with the tongue we praise our Lord the Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praises and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt produce fresh water. What he's getting here is you're saying your words should provide witness. The things you're saying indicate where your life is. They should be matching with your actions. See, words can indicate Jesus in our lives or a lack thereof. It can show us areas we haven't submitted to him yet. So do we act holy, but then turn around and our actions show otherwise, speaking from both sides of your mouth? Maybe we talk a good game. We know the church lingo. We know the right trigger words to say, but our actions really reveal where we are. There's a disconnect. See, our actions do show Christ to others, but our words provide witness. So if we're demonstrating Jesus to somebody, but we never explain to them it's Jesus we're demonstrating, how are they going to know it's Jesus? There's a disconnect. See, we're called to proclaim. We're called to send forth the word of God and to lift Jesus up in the highest place in our lives, and that should be coming out of our mouths and our actions. But too often we sit here too timid and we're too scared and we just say, you know what, I think I'm just going to sit down here and hopefully somebody will notice that I'm a little bit different. But what Scripture's calling you to do is to stand up loud and proud and say, you know, I serve Jesus and I want to tell you about the Lord. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. Let me tell you what he's done to me. And you start going through the crowds. This is what the Scripture says. And he comes to you and he says, you know what? God loves you more than anything. He's loved me more than anything in my life. This is what we're called to do. We're called to get attention, not for our own boosting and boasting of ourselves. We are called to lift ourselves up to a place of attention so we can get the stage to proclaim the word of God to lost people. And if we're not willing to stand up and proclaim it, how are people ever going to hear the word of God be spoken? Instead, they see a person who they think is mostly good, but there's no words connected to the gospel to prove that it's from Christ. Your words provide witness. Get into the crowd. Show some action. Let them line with your words. I'm reminded of Nazi Germany. The church was very deeply rooted in Germany when the Nazis took power, but they remained silent. And when they seen the atrocities that were happening, they tried to speak up, but by then it was too late. And I wonder, what if? What if they would have spoken up sooner? What if they would have taken a stand and let their words and their actions match? What if? What if? Do your words speak to Jesus being king? And do your actions match that? Ephesians 4. 22 through 32 says, you are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer and must work and do something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those who are in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it benefits those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander along with you, for you were sealed with the day of redemption. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. What Jesus is outlining here for you isn't a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a checklist. What he's giving you is examples of pursuing a life of holiness. And this isn't an all-inclusive list. It's not like, well, there's five things here I shouldn't do, but this one isn't on there. This isn't what it's getting at. These are just a base that he's showing us, that we had an old way that we lived. We got to get rid of that, and we got to bring on the new life. We get rid of the falsehood. We be truthful. We keep our anger under control. We learn to forgive. We don't steal. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We get rid of that bitterness and that just insane anger that rages up, the fighting and the malice and the slander. And slander, a lot of you have heard the word. It's saying things that aren't truthful about others. It tears down their reputation. And these are things obvious that shouldn't be in a Christ follower's life. And the list goes on and on. There's multiple sexual issues that come into this, and anything that can pull you away from Christ really should be in there. But what I want you to get is these are an outline of a life of holiness. He's saying, put off the old self, put on the new, but did you notice what's in the middle? In the middle of all that, verse 29, no unwholesome talk to come out of your mouths, only what will build others up. Shows that words mean a lot to God. He groups unwholesome speech in with other sins.
Wow.
Makes me really want to think before I say things. It's a sin to speak badly of another, being untruthful, doing things that don't build others up. And included in that is something that's rampant in and out of churches, and that's gossip. It's gossip. Either spreading it or taking part in it. You know, gossip often gets covered in prayer requests. Do you ever notice that? I just need you to pray for me because so-and-so did this and this and this and this and this, and I just can't believe how much of a jerk they are. But pray for me. For what? That the bitterness in your heart is gone? That you go and be reconciled like the Bible says you should? Or do you just want to talk about this wrong and repeat it and let other people know how bad of a person they are? What's your intent? I'm not saying don't talk to other people in your lives who can understand your situation. About 2 months ago, I was dealing with a little bit of unforgiveness in my heart and frustrations I had with an individual, and I called a safe person that I knew I could trust that wasn't connected to the situation, and I did my absolute best to paint the person who I felt wronged by in a good light. And the person understood my words and gave me some encouragements and pointers. And then at the end, when we prayed, the words of the person I spoke to, he said, "Lord, analyze our hearts in this conversation. If we have spoken anything that was destructive and not life-bringing, reveal it to us. We mean the best for this person. Help us to navigate through this with reconciliation and forgiveness." That was the heart behind that conversation. Not to say, "Guess what this so-and-so person did to me. Can you believe that? What should I do?" It wasn't like that. It was like, "I want to navigate this in a Christ-honoring way, but I need another Christ follower to help me." That's different. That's different. Bottom line, if you have a hurt, a hang-up, an anger, a bitterness issue with another person, just go to the source of it. Go to that person and talk it out with them. Seek reconciliation and forgiveness, and then let it go, knowing that you did the best with whatever outcome happens. Matthew 5, verses 23 through 24 says this: "If you're offering your gift at the altar, and there that you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift." This is how much Jesus wants us to understand that we need to reconcile to others, and it starts with our words. Go to that person and be reconciled, and then come and offer your gift. I love that. I love that. So in your conversations, ask yourself often, if this doesn't leave the person I'm talking about or build up the person I'm talking to, is it worth saying? Is it worth saying? Verse 32 sums this whole thing up great. It says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you." Do your words match your actions? Do your words represent the resurrected King? Because you represent him. Your words and actions should match. Your words provide witness. Your words provide witness. Last thing I want to talk about tonight regarding words is that our words reveal the heart. Luke 6:45, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Do you want to know where your heart is? Look at your words. What are your words like? What do you say about others? What do you say about situations? Are you a complainer? Are you a gossiper? Do you see the better in things or the worse in things? Do you take part in gossip? Maybe you don't speak it, but you like to hear it because you like the drama. What does that reveal about your heart? What do your words reveal about you? See, we often think that we have the right. We love that word in America, the right. I have the right to be wronged. I have the right to be offended. I'll give that to you. You can be offended if you want. But if you're a Christ follower, you're also a citizen of heaven. That means you represent the king and his kingdom. And so if we represent Christ, I think it's important to look at how he responded. Think of when he went to the cross. People mocked him and accused him, slandered him, spit on him. How did he respond? He didn't. He didn't say a word. He responded through his actions in love. How do we respond? I believe Jesus remained silent because he understood the value of words. He understood the impact of what they held. And if it wasn't worth saying, if it wasn't going to build them up, he wasn't going to say it. So what's your heart revealing about you through your words? Is there bitterness in there? Is there unforgiveness? Maybe there's some envy, some lust, jealousy, selfishness, ungodly desires. What does your heart say? If you listen to your words, they can tell you what's wrong with your heart, the things that you have yet to submit to Jesus. And just like in worship time, all he wants is all of us. Lord, you are my everything. We proclaim that, but where is our heart? Are we willing to truly submit everything to Christ as King? Because if these things are in our hearts, if there's things in there that are not submitted to him as a follower of Christ, these things can't stay in there. We need to get them out. We need to submit them to Jesus. We need to pull that root so we can grow closer to him. Your words reveal your heart. Where are you at tonight? Everybody bow their head and close their eyes. Tonight, I just simply want to be honest. I wonder how many here are realizing that, you know, there's a point in time where I was submitted to Christ, where I was living for him, I was following him, and I'm away from that now. I've been conforming, I've been compromising. I'm seeing this list of James 3 of things in my heart that shouldn't be there. Just want to invite you to make things right tonight. Get to a place with the Lord for reconciliation. Maybe that's you, or maybe you've just never surrendered your life to Jesus' control, but you feel something pulling with inside of you tonight. You feel something stirring. That's the Holy Spirit beckoning you into relationship with him. Maybe you're seeing the harm that's come in your words and you want to bring life to others. You're not going to be able to fully do that without relationship with Christ. So if anybody's here tonight, maybe coming back to the Lord for the 100th time or the 10th time, doesn't matter. What matters is your heart. Or maybe it's your first time. That's all right, too. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. Thank you. Just a couple of you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Give it a few more moments. Put your hands down. Just join me in this prayer. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for offering your life in place of mine. Jesus, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I've been wrong. And I've wronged you. Forgive me, Lord. Help me walk with you. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Walk with me, Lord. Guide me. I accept you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can look up here. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a follower of Christ, but you're realizing the things that you're saying you're not keeping in check. The words that come out aren't matching your actions. You find yourself talking negative or involving yourself in gossip. Maybe you're tearing others down. You realize that your words are destroying. Or maybe you're here and you're realizing that your words are indicating a condition in your heart. Things like unforgiveness, or jealousy, bitterness, selfishness. Maybe you're critical of others. always criticizing things. I'm going to challenge you tonight. Give those things to the Lord. Let him pull that root out. Surrender them to Jesus. Begin to forgive. Begin to let go. Begin to move forward. Begin to see the good in people. Let the Lord change your mind. Begin to heal from past hurts. As followers of Christ, we're called to be more like him, to reflect him in our words and our actions. And I want to challenge you tonight, begin to let him reflect through you. Or maybe you're here and you're good with words, but it's the proclaiming part that's hard. In your schools, with your friends, with your families, it's hard to stand up boldly and say, you know what, the reason I do these things is for Jesus. You want your actions and your words to match. It's time to speak up. It's time to let go of that fear. It's time to stop holding back. It's time to let go. So I'm going to ask you tonight, if you want a change in your speech, if you want your life to reflect Jesus, if you want forgiveness and healing to come into your heart, if you want to be a person who boldly proclaims Jesus as Lord, if you want to just be a person who reflects Christ in all that you do, you want your words to hold power for life, you want to proclaim him, and you want your heart to be revealing the goodness of the Lord within there, I'm going to ask you to find a place at this altar and to get alone with the Lord. And we're going to do this a little different tonight. Normally we have leaders coming through and praying, but I just really feel like what the Lord wants to do tonight is he wants to talk with you. And so when you come up here and leaders, cadre, don't pray over the students. What I want you to do, leaders, cadre, students, anybody who has felt the Lord pull even the smallest part on your heart tonight, get alone with the Lord. Let him speak to you. And when you feel like you've heard something from him, when you've got what you've came up for, then you're dismissed.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.